Well, good evening. It is certainly an encouragement to be here with you all tonight as we have come out to worship God. For tonight's lesson, I'm going to be talking for the next few minutes about foundations and the importance of a foundation. It's a very thought-provoking message we're going to find in the book of Matthew, right at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, chapter 7. And I think naturally when we think about foundations, I know William's in the construction business and others as well, we think, you know, something that goes under a structure, something needs to be sound and something you can build upon. And so in the book of Matthew, Jesus gives us some advice. He says, the wise builds on the rock or the solid foundation, and the fool builds on the sand. Simple enough, right? Has anybody ever purchased a house with a bad or a sand or a dirt foundation, or been involved in any way in something along those lines? And I saw a few hands. Myself as well, as simple as the advice is, back in 2002, a friend of mine, church friend, he goes to North Seattle. We went to a seminar, a three-day seminar on how to buy foreclosed properties. So after this seminar, we come out, and we're all pumped up and ready to go buy some foreclosed properties. And it was an interesting thing because every time we put an offer on one, it was gone that day. Gone that day. They'd come out and they were gone that day. And finally we said, okay, we have to quit being so picky. And we need to get serious and get real. And so it finally came about. We, little house over there in the North Seattle area on 12th Avenue, put the offer in, and we got it this time. And we thought, oh yes, fantastic. And we really didn't do an inspection because we know how to fix anything, right? And so later on we found out why it was probably us who got the house, because that house, three quarters of it was sitting on the dirt. And so here you go. Now it's sitting on the dirt or on the sand. There's issues. That's why the roof's caving in, and that's why there's so many issues with this particular house. And so you have to try and figure out a way, how can you now turn this around and make it somewhat profitable? And so we add on a room over here, pretty much tear down the whole house, and then we have to build upstairs as well. And before you know it, there's carrying costs, and there's time, and this house became known in my household as 12th Avenue. The reason why we have no money, the reason why we have no time, that's where Dad's at. He's at 12th Avenue for about a year and a half. And in my life, I didn't hear the birds singing anymore in the mornings. I didn't hear those nice things. I was focused on how can we get out of 12th Avenue. And as simple as the advice that Jesus gives, boy, how true. Because I can go back now mentally and say, well, it led to this. You can go all the way back to that dirt/sand foundation, and off we went. As we think about foundations and what Jesus really did say in the last part of his Sermon on the Mount, he was really talking as well about something much deeper, wasn't he? And so that's the question that is really being asked tonight, and that is, what are you building on? What are you building your spiritual house on? The rock of Jesus Christ, or on the sand? And so let's go ahead and read the text. I would encourage you to read along. I'm going to be reading Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 27. And it says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does what? Does the will of my Father who is in heaven, he will enter. For many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? And I will declare to them, I never knew you. "Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness," or people who don't follow God's plan. Verse 24, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came." By the way, that word floods in my Bible has a little asterisk next to it that says rivers. Plural, rivers. "And the rain fell and the rivers came." Rivers like floods came, "and the winds blew and slammed against that house. Yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock." Hearing and doing the word of God. Verse 26, "Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell and those floods like rivers came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and it fell." But it goes on. It says, "And great was its fall." So we think about that. We think about, "And great was its fall." We think about these two different individuals. We think about the wise built upon the rock. We think about the foolish who built his spiritual house upon the sand. We have two fundamentally different people. One says, "God, I want to hear what you have to say, because I'm going to listen to that and I'm going to follow it and I'm going to pattern my life after what you say." Fool says, "Don't hear what you say. I'm not going to do what you say, and I'm going to go about things my own way and follow really the worldly views, secular views, things along those lines, and forget about God." Two fundamentally different people. Let's go ahead and build upon that tonight and see and find what's the difference. What would the difference be if we go ahead and expand upon that, and we expand upon the lives of the wise man who builds on the rock of Jesus Christ, and we expand upon the foolish man who builds his life upon the sand or earthly things? Because don't we all live together in reality? Hopefully, we're the ones at work who aren't the ones out doing all of these horrible things. And sometimes our co-workers, well, we're supposed to be good examples to those folks. And so what kind of an example are we setting? And so, in fact, both these individuals are living at the same time, doing the same thing. Let's say they both have a healthy family. They're healthy. Everything's fine right now. They both work at a great job. Let's say they both work at Microsoft or a Boeing or a Amazon.com, and everything's fantastic. And they both have their investments. They both have their stocks, bonds, mutual funds, real estate. Maybe they invest in the company's 401ks. Very similar along the way here. And they both have, maybe they have their vacation home, their timeshares. How many of you have timeshares? Maybe like to go to Hawaii, like to go to California, spend time away relaxing. Both very similarly patterned lives. And they both have their sunny day toys. The cars, boats, motorcycles, their convertible Mustangs. They like to drive around on the sunny days. Those sort of things. And so here we have them. The wise and the foolish, lives built really very similarly, and on the surface, they look the same, right? But this is where it gets interesting. Because, as we read, the storms of life arrive. And as we think about the storms of life, does God put a special shield around the Christian to protect him or her from life's events? Does he? No. We all know. We've all, I'm sure, experienced things. We get sick. Sometimes loved ones do pass away. Sometimes things happen. And there really is no protective shield. As a matter of fact, we're admonished to, grow from those things. And so, no, there really is no protective shield from the storms of life and when they arrive. And this is an interesting scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verses 10 through 13. We're actually warned that it's pretty much guaranteed, these storms of life. And it says, according to the grace of God, which was given to me, like a wise master builder, I laid a foundation, and another is building on it. But each man must be careful how he builds on it, for no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man builds on the foundation with gold, with silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each man's work will become evident, for the day will show itself, and it will be revealed with fire, and the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. We will all be tested. If any man's work which he has built upon remains, he will receive a reward. The storms of life are guaranteed. And so, the storms of life arrive in our text tonight. The foundation of Christ, the solid rock. We have the wise man, and then we have the foolish man with the foundation of sand and earthly things. And the rain fell, and the floods, like rivers, came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded, as we know, on the rock. And then we have the foolish man, Matthew 7:27. And the rain fell, and the floods like rivers came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and it fell, as you recall. And then great was its fall. And so here comes the test. Here comes the test for the wise man and the foolish man. And as we consider these things, can good jobs go away? Does Microsoft ever lay off? Does Boeing, never mind. Right? About every 5 years, Boeing's in the Everett area shuts down. They do. Could the entire investment banking industry crumble? Think of August 2007. Can these things happen? Ouch. Many lost their jobs. Many businesses that were here are no longer here. And so, yes, these things can happen. We think of 9/11. We think of wars. We think of the Great Depression. We think of family issues. And so here come the tests, and good jobs can, in fact, go away. When our good jobs go away, what happens to Hip National Bank? Begins to hurt. We have no money. The storms have arrived, and the rain and the winds are slamming against us. And the first thing to go will be the sunny day toys. We have to sell the convertible Mustangs and the RVs, the motorcycles, all of those fun toys. And then next thing to go away will be the vacation homes, timeshares. Anyone ever try and sell a timeshare? It's very difficult. And in fact, don't you end up most times saying, how do I just get rid of it? Can I just send it back to you? No, you can't just send it back to us. For most cases, you still have to pay us $200 a month for the rest of your life, and there's no way out. But so we have to get rid of these things, because what comes with timeshares and what comes with vacation homes, are they liabilities or are they assets? Do they put money in your bank or take away? They take money away because they are, in fact, liabilities. We can no longer afford them. Those things go away in storms. Gone. And then we have our investments, 401ks, stocks, bonds, mutual funds, real estate. Once again, have you ever tried to sell a piece of real estate in times of turmoil, in times of distress? Who wants to buy it for what it was worth before the storms hit? Not many. So we have a fire sale. And then off they go, stocks, bonds, mutual funds, real estate. In times of storms, do stocks hold their value as well? August of 07, I believe the stock market dropped to almost half as well. So we're selling whatever we can and to survive. And then it's gone. We're left with health and family. Did people get sick? Do we ever get sick? Does our people in our family ever get sick? Yes. Storms of life come. We can get sick. Our spouses can get sick. People can pass away, obviously, right? If you're in the wise category and you've been hearing and doing the word of God, you go off to your reward. If you're the foolish man, as you recall, and great was its fall, destruction. So, in fact, our health can fail and fade in times of storms. And so, we come down to this. I thought there was supposed to be a difference between the wise and the foolish. Can this even happen in America today? These sort of things? Be utterly decimated like this? Yeah, there's some heads shaking, yeah. A personal story. When I was 10, my oldest brother was 12. Youngest brother was 3. My mother was going through a second marriage, and it was failing. And we ended up fleeing in the middle of the night. And off we go to Grandma's house. And we're there for about a week. And she couldn't have guests longer than a certain amount of days at where she was at. And so off we went to another Grandma's and Grandpa's house. And after a while there as well, about a week or so, time to go. You guys, you know, it's kind of a handful here. And so off we go to our aunt and uncle's house in Lake Stevens area. And once again, after about a week and a half, 2 weeks, does anybody know what a septic tank system is? Septic? Yeah? So we heard that their septic system was being stressed. So the septic tank system is now being stressed, and you guys are pretty much, you know, outworn your welcome. And it's time to head on down the road. Well, recently, my mother now, a single mother of 3, we talk about health. She had just had, about a month and a half prior, brain aneurysm surgery. So here she is, you know, with pretty fresh scars on the brain, on the head from the surgeries. And people saying, you know, toodaloo, bye-bye. I was not raised in the church. And so here you go. Yes, these things can happen. So we ended up surrounded by family. And those are just the ones that helped. I have other family as well in the area. Surrounded by family, yet here we are in the rearview mirror, right? Goodbye, good luck. And so we end up in a little shelter in downtown Everett. And that's where we went for a while, and then eventually we could go on back to the house and that sort of thing. But these storms are real. They do happen, and I suspect there's probably some more people in here who would have some personal stories as well. reiterating that fact that the storms of life do come, and sometimes they do slam and test us, don't they? And so, but still, what is the difference? Is there a difference? And we ask the question, well, wow, what is left? Seems to be decimated. Is there really a difference? And yes, let's take a look. For the foolish man whose foundation is sand, earthly things, worried about HIP National Bank and all of these, how much gold, how much money, how many things can I collect? As you recall, there was the last verse in Matthew chapter 7, verse 27, where it said, "And great was its fall." And that's no accident. Somebody on that column, as the foolish foundation of earthly things, what is left? And great was its fall. Look what Paul says in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 17. It says, he says, "Join together in following my example, brothers and sisters, and just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. For as I have often told you before and now tell you, again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach. How much can I get? And their glory is their shame." Why? It says, because their mind is set on earthly things. Brethren, is that us? Ask that question tonight. Mind set on earthly things. God is their stomach. What do I want? Instead of, what does God want? Appetite is never satisfied. And we see this in the world we live in. We see sports heroes, and are they ever satisfied, or do they always seem to be seeking the higher contract? I know there's a really famous Mariner who we got from the Yankees. Now he wants to go back to the Yankees. But he came here with a pretty huge contract. Appetite never satisfied. Mindset on earthly things. Their foundation of sand. Foundation of money, cars, their convertibles, how big their bank account is, how many vacation homes they have, and just stuff. And as we've already mentioned, what is the destiny of somebody with a sand, earthly foundation, and its destruction? No hope, no salvation. And why? Because they practice lawlessness, and they are simply disregarding what God says. That's why. And by the way, many in this state do not bounce back. I mean, when there's not a godly foundation, and all of your hopes and dreams and desires, all of are those things, that's hard to take when you lose them all. And we hear stories of horrible things happening, suicides and all kinds of crazy stuff happening with people in that situation. And many in that state simply do not bounce back. Reminded of Matthew 7:27, "And great was its fall." And then verse 23, where he says those chilling words that hopefully nobody here ever has to hear, and that's, "I never knew you." I mean, wow. Not all those times when I was at least coming to church and doing this and doing that and trying to be nice to my neighbor. No, "I never knew you," was the warning there, the admonition. And then let's not forget God's ultimate test, which would be obviously judgment. What's your foundation? Well, let's consider the wise man whose foundation was the rock, whose foundation was Jesus Christ, whose foundation was hearing and doing the Word of God. What's left for that individual? And don't you know, it's everything. Everything is left. We sing the song, Jesus is all the world to me. My life, my joy, my what? My life, my joy, my what? My all. Do we believe it or not? Is Jesus really all the world to me? My life, my joy, my all, or not? And indeed, if you are in Christ and you are hearing and doing the Word of God, He is. And notice what Paul says in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 7. He says, whatever were gains for me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss, because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage. All that worldly stuff. He's got Christ as his foundation. He has everything. That I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. So what does the wise man have? Don't you know that he has hope? In Hebrews 6, and verse 17 through 20, it says, in the same way, God, desiring even more to show to the heirs of the promise the unchangeableness of his purpose, interposed with an oath, so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we have taken refuge, would have strong encouragement. This evening, have you taken refuge in Christ? Are you ready for the storms? He says, taking refuge would have strong encouragement to take hold of the hope that is set before us. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul. Do you have that anchor? Are you anchored in Christ? A hope both sure and steadfast, and one which enters within the veil where Jesus has entered as a forerunner for us, having become a high priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. We have hope. We have hope as an anchor. We are anchored in Christ, and nothing can get to us in these storms. The wise man has salvation. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 7 through 8. Where it says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespass, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished on us in all wisdom and insight. We have redemption through his blood. We have salvation in Christ, hearing and doing the word of God like the wise man. And then also, the wise man, the one who hears and does the word of God, has a loving church family and help. John 13, 34 through 35 says, a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Can we say we love somebody if we see them essentially homeless or having serious trouble and we just walk on, bye-bye, God bless you, you know? No. Love one another as I have loved you. The wise man has a loving church family. That's you and me. The wise man has the body of Christ for help. And then also, the wise man has, in Philippians 2 and verse 4, it says, do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Once again, he has brethren looking out for his or her interests when these storms hit. Also, Romans chapter 12 and verse 13, where it says, "Be devoted one to another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another." Do we do that? Do we give preference to one another? Would we rather hang out with someone from the church than somebody in the world? Give preference to one another. Not lagging behind. How easy is that to lag behind? We have something to do. We see a need. We're like, oh boy, it's time to go to lunch or something, right? And so not lagging behind in diligence. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Those things are serving the Lord. When we reach out and help the brethren, when we are attentive to what's going on and seeing a need and then trying to fill it, we are serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. The wise man has these things. The one who hears and does the word of God. The unwise, foolish do not. They don't know this whole side of life. They're unaware. The wise man has it. And then also the familiar passage in Matthew 25 and verses 35 through 40 where, as you recall, he says, "I was hungry and you gave. I was thirsty. You gave. I was a stranger and you invited. I was in prison and you came." Instead of doing nothing, you did all these things. This is what the wise man can enjoy. It's what the one who hears and does the word of God can enjoy. And then in, let's see, right here, 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. I'll go ahead and read that. 2 Peter 1, verses 1 through 4. It says, "Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have received a faith of the same kind as ours, by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, seeing that his divine power has granted to us," and what's that word? "All," everything. "Granted to us all," everything. We have everything in Christ. "Granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. For by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises." These are promises. Promises that the foolish do not have. They don't have these things. They don't have everything. They're the ones eternally or forever seeking something. More. It's not enough. Those sort of things. So the foolish do not have these things. This is only for the wise, the one who hears and does. He has the promises, all these promises, "so that by them you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust." So his divine power has granted to us all things. We have everything. This evening, the question is being asked, how's your foundation? Are you building upon the solid rock of Jesus Christ? This evening, give it a look. Give it a kick. Does it sound hollow? Is it sound? Are you prepared for the storms of life? Have you already gone through some storms of life? Are you ready? And then this evening, to close, I'd like to read Proverbs chapter 1 and verses 22 through 33. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 22 through 33. This is a fantastic admonition here. It says, "How long, O naive ones, will you love being simple-minded? And scoffers delight themselves in scoffing, and fools hate knowledge. Turn to my reproof." In other words, open your eyes and listen. "Behold, I will pour out my spirit upon you. I will make my words known to you, because I called and you refused," not listening, don't want to have anything to do with what God has to say. "I stretched out my hand and no one paid attention, and you neglected all my counsel and did not want my reproof." Eyes and ears turned away from what God has to say, the unwise. "I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your dread comes. When your dread comes like a storm," and that's what we're talking about, the rains, the winds, the floods, "and your calamity comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then they will call on me, but I will not answer. As you recall, I never knew you. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me." Why? Because they hated knowledge. They wanted nothing to do with what God had to say. "They did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would not accept my wise counsel." Why? Because they were busy chasing the carnal things, the monies, the foundation of sands, the cars, and those sort of things. "They would not accept my counsel. They spurned all my reproof." Well, verse 31, "So they shall eat of the fruit of their own way and be satiated with their own devices, for the waywardness of the naive will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them." But look at verse 33. It says, "But he who listens to me shall live securely." That word "listen" involves action in this particular scripture. Listens and does. "He who listens to me shall live securely and will be at ease from the dread of evil, from the storms of life." Wouldn't you like to be at ease from evil and be at ease from the storms of life? There's only one way, and that if you are like the wise man and you have Jesus Christ as your foundation. This evening there's an opportunity to become a child of God and get Christ in his rightful place. It should be your foundation. If he is not, you can be baptized tonight and become a child of God. Or if you're here tonight and you are struggling with many temptations of the world, there are many things which can distract us, can entice us, and next thing you know, we're off in trouble. This evening, if you have a need, if you'd like the prayers of the congregation, or if you would like to become a child of God and be baptized, whatever the case may be, please come forward while we stand and sing our song of invitation tonight.